Welcome to a semi-private, semi-secret edition of Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. John Snyzen's on from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. I got that right?
Yeah, well, not. I'm actually not in the city. I'm quite far out. I'm about 80 kilometers north in the what's called the Interlake region. And it's a beautiful place. It's away from the craziness.
All right, good. Well, you go to the store, you got a mask up.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Or else you get like shamed. Like you get literally like I had a lady friend of mine that she's an older lady and she got chased out and almost beaten by a guy. So they're pretty nutser.
Wow! This time we look back in history, we're just going to be damn. All right, we get into it. This is what we're going to do today. There was a it's always the Russian hackers. You know, give me some money and I'll build it for you. So we're going to, people that John know were working on another project that it just seemed to me that they weren't happy with some of the compromises they had to make because, venture capitalists, money comes in and says, oh, you're doing it wrong. And it seems to me that freedom and privacy and pirate communication, hailing frequencies invisible to the crown, is, not on their radar screen. Well, one of the things that we were looking for is, it's one of the letters on PiratesWithoutBorders.com. PiratesWithoutBorders.com is a promotion of decentralization of everything. And, of course, that makes you a pirate. So what we wanted to do is see how close we could code to an idea. It is called Scuttlebutt, was the fourth letter of reprisal, as in Mark, Captain Mark, and his first mate, Reprisal. So the letters of Mark and Reprisal have a lot to do with the philosophy that we're advocating. And one of the letters, kind of one of the longer ones, was on how do we, have a reputation amongst pirates and it be useful when you go and sign on to another ship or another group or you include people or how are you seen? Because your reputation precedes you, written by whom? Just because you got a rap sheet from the crown doesn't mean that you're a bad guy. Matter of fact, that's like a resume, to pirates. Woo! He refused and said no and didn't. So this is what we wanted to emphasize is how would we code this reputation system to where the people given an evaluation of your or a reputation score, what's their reputation? Why do I care what they think? What's their rating or ranking in order to have an opinion that I care about? So as the time went on, we talked to different guys. One of the gentlemen was exposed to that letter and could see that it was closer, maybe, to what they were originally intending. They were interested in it. They saw the value in it. They wanted to work on it. So it's been a couple of months that they've been working on this, and now they want to report today. So today they're going to try and convince us that they got it going on, and we're on to something. And if it, we need a little token sale, a little crowdfunding, a little just fund funding, we'll see. Because I need to know that we're going to get something out of it because just sending money to Russian hackers looks bad on your resume unless you get something for it. So we're gonna work on that, But yeah. I trust John, and John knows. How do you know these guys anyway?
Well, it's funny. They actually approached me, 2 years ago? One of the founders, he read my book, The End of Freedom, How Our Monetary System Enslaves Us. I was like, you're the guy that we want to work with as an advisor. So I actually been their advisor and tried to help them out. They took a little bit of a different route because they did some crowdfunding. They raised I think it was a couple of million, and then they chose to do it with a different type of a social media type of platform. And so, but it wasn't really what Anser, the guy that, was one of the head, marketers and also worked with the development team. He wasn't too excited about it. And I think what happened when we had our conversation. You woke up a little flame within the answer, because I think he told me after, he's like, yeah, I'm a cyberpunk at heart, and you know, this is really what I think is right to do with this project. So you never know what might come out of this. You know, there might be some big things. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because we really need, you know, these type of systems now more than ever.
Well, you know, it's this is my experience with Russian hackers. They came out with Open Garden, which later became FireChat, which was what mesh network that powered the Umbrella Revolution in Hong Kong. And when they first came out with the concept, it was from each according to their ability to each according to their needs, you know, and it was if you were on a mesh network and you turned on Open Garden, any and everybody that had access to the internet, it would be shared with everybody else. You know, everybody would have it. It was a mesh network that went, you know, phone, 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 boom, internet, you know. And I'm going, okay, that's a cool idea and cool tech, but I already know what's going to happen. So they turned it on, and we talked about it, and one of their advocates was on the show, and I want to talk to the coder. I want to talk to, can they speak English? So it was good enough English. Had them on. We yacked about it and what they're doing. And I could see what was going on. It was a product of culture. Because when you come out of the, you know, former Soviet Union or Russia, and you kind of, you just, you know, had that mindset, and the tech was cool, but the second you turned it on at Porcupine Freedom Festival, where it was limited access, and if you had a decent phone and a Verizon signal, at the moment, it's gone. So all my data just went, and it's gone. So I go, yeah, that's kind of what I figured. From each according to their ability, to each according to their need, and they needed some bandwidth. So, man, it just sucked it right off my phone. And it didn't really serve anybody, you know, but everybody just sucked it off. So then I'm going, okay, well, what I was interested in was the tech that created the meshing. I'm going, wow, that worked. Of course, it sucked all my data, but I mean, you know, it worked amongst, and then it later developed into, you know, we had a Jackalope Freedom Festival, so we had JackNet, you know, and all kinds of stuff where you could beam it down and everybody get it, and then phones could share if you wanted to be at a festival and everybody just share from a router with an app, and it just be its own little internet, you know, in a valley that didn't have access to the outside. You know, that was something that was interesting to me. So, you know, it's a lot of this tech I see develop, it's always what's the goal from the beginning? What's their mindset? What are they trying to accomplish? What is it? So they were playing with the tech of meshing phones, but, you know, trying to get it to the outside world and going through one guy's account and then their data's all gone. I'm going, yeah, I kind of figured that was going to happen. But so that was my experience. No,
you gotta have multiple routing almost, like, yeah. It seems like, you know, I'm a telecom technician by trade. So, you know, you really have to, like, get it to a point where it could do multiple routing and then, like, some kind of bandwidth control on it, you know, they can't just go all in it, because that just kills.
Yeah, well, it was, that, you know, I could, you know, I don't know what they were thinking was going to happen. More than one, it's always going to be, you know, those that had it were going to be sacrificing their use of it for the collective, you know, and it's just, it's a mindset. And it's a philosophy, it's a way of being brought up or something. So I just going, that's why I want to be, you know, careful in what I deal. I want to make sure they understand what they're doing and why, and that it overlaps with what we want to do. So I'm, you know, having the technical skills to do it, which later it turned into FireChat, and which was very effective. And but it, you know, it kind of changed its parameters a little bit and how they wanted to use it, what for, and, you know, kind of stuff. So it's kind of a flash mob of, you know, everybody's phone connect. We will not be denied communication with each other. But when you're in a dense area like Hong Kong, you know, and it's phone to phone to phone, the phones are near field communication you could use. I mean, you know, so I'm just, there's such a tight population, you know, density, that you can get away with this kind of stuff. So I'm thinking more rural mindset. Well, we got Starlink coming. So when you have, did you see what they're, you know, Elon said they're going to go speeds, you know, bandwidth. Did you see that? Okay, check this out.
Go ahead.
No, well, it's 100 megabytes per second. Now they're going to say, okay, we're going to ramp it up and turn it up to 10 gig a second. And I go, what? So that thing has a lot more capability than I thought. I remember they were saying they're going to go a gig up and down, but I didn't hear about no 10 gig. So I'm going, okay.
Well, there's people that have tested it. Actually, there's people that have tested it. It's a guy, actually, that lives only like 2 kilometers away from me, and he got 160. He was one of the beta testers, and he got 167 down and 30 up, which is like for rural internet. You know, I'm paying through the shirt, like over double of what Elon wants. You know, for his project, and I get 30 down and 3 up, and yeah, so I'd be very happy.
This is
when it comes. Like, I'm on the list. And I, you know what, I forgot. I was on the list, and then your buddy, what's his name now? Derek Slopey, right?
Yeah.
He said, like, well, didn't you see the email? And damn it, I missed the damn email.
Oh, for your thing. He got his. It, so. I think he's on the list or something. He was saying he was going to get it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, here, let's see. I was just looking. Starship is supposed to be launching today. Let's see. How to test. Okay, let's see. Yeah, they're going to... Let's see if this is live. Because Star... Oh, here we go. Live. Oh, that was a December 9th live stream. I go, oh, man, they're going now. All right, let's see. Live Starship. Maybe not. I think it'd blow up all over the place. Because when Starship... starts chunking up, instead of 60 satellites at a time, it's like 400 and something at a time. They're going to go up pretty quick. They're going up quick now. They're over 1,000 satellites.
Oh, wow.
So it's in your area, you know, southern Canada, northern U.S., it's going to be. How far away from the border are you?
I'm about, I would say, probably like 200 and something, 220 maybe. From, so
that's,
I'm
like, right, 130 miles. So when you talk, you're talking kilometers, right?
Yeah, so, like, you're probably, like, 160-something miles.
Okay.
I would say, yeah, away from the U.S. border right now.
All right, yeah. Now they have, because this is what happened. I don't know if you know this, this is what happened. They're doing it in Starship. They held off. Weather was not that great that day, blah, blah, blah. They got to get FAA approval, so here's the man. And they're in Texas, and just going to be the Republic of Texas, and there goes your FAA, kiss my ass. But the, so he's in Texas there, and they're getting, and we're counting down from, oh, FAA pulled the their permission slip to go up. We got safety concerns, and Lockheed Boeing's not liking it, so you can't fly, okay? So they go, what? Really? So then he goes, man, we ain't getting to Mars this way. You guys, oh, so it became a thing. So what he does is he goes, all right, roll it out. So 9 is on the launch pad ready to launch, and he's like wheeling out number 10. Now they got 2 of them sitting there. Now they have 3, then 4, then 5. You guys want to play this game? You know, let's see what's up. So this is interesting, the Biden administration, how they're going to try and protect their buddies, you know. So this is... that's why I'm really looking at, you know, this today. I want to see what happens, because once this happens, this is going to change a bunch of stuff, So I'm looking, and the fact that SpaceX is private, you know, and not an IPO, it didn't have a, you know, it's not on the stock exchange and regulated and all that kind of crap. They can do whatever the hell they want. They keep screwing around with them on Tesla too. So this is, the day is February 1st, 2021, and hopefully we'll see a launch of SN9, and today we'll keep track of this. And then we get a launch of a privacy, pirate, hailing frequency, reputation, scuttlebutt, you know, news on this. I've been waiting for this, you know. I've been, you know, pinging John going, all right, where are we at? What's up? You know, and now they're ready to share. So what was the communication you had with this guy? And what's his name? I can't remember how to say it.
Yeah, his name is Anzor Durov. Durov, I think it is.
Well, what does he go by? What do you call him?
You know, he actually... Anzor.
Yeah. Anzer.
You know what's Anzer? A N Z O R.
Anzer.
So he's you know what's funny? He kind of looks like a pirate too. So it's I think he's on our side. But I known him for a while, and we go forth and back, and we talk a lot. Regular, you know, like about the project and stuff. So, you know, he's definitely an anarchist. Am I not one of those, you know, anti-fascist anarchists? But he's an actual, you know, real anarchist that believe in, you know, the cause. And I think, you know, it's gonna be interesting. You know, it's you know, they actually, so like, just to give a little overview before, like, he's going to go all into the details and give us the real, you know, proof on it. But it's they're looking at, like, the technology that they're using. You know, it's here wrote down some points for us here. You know, public blockchain network with Turing complete smart contracts, and then IPFS for storage. Delegated proof of importance distributed ID system, partially based on Yule. So basically, he's using, you know, part of what we have before, and then the Tor network to increase censorship resistance and robustness of the system. So yeah, you know, if they could pull this off, you know, and that is another, you know, revolution for people, that, you know, now we have a trust network that we could run, you know, decentralized from the from, you know, Amazon, from all these, you know, scammers out there, you know, that. So you actually could potentially see a system that actually works as a, you know, a trust platform for individuals, for businesses around the world to actually be able to do businesses, business with each other without having to meet, you know, like in person.
Right.
Because they would actually have gained, you know, some kind of a score, you know, over time. So it's a, you know, we'll see what comes out of it, but I'm positively, you know, I'm always a positive guy. I always hope for the best, you know. So we'll see. You know, I'm excited about it. So
well, the fact that we got a coder,
we can only wait to see.
I'm sorry, the only way what?
Yeah, no, I'm very excited about it. So we only got to see, you know, what when we get the rundown here of where we're going to take it.
Yeah, this, and with the Zoom and the connection that we have, there's like a second and a half delay, so it's like I'm talking to somebody on the moon. But the what we're hoping to accomplish has been, you know, it's a dream. You know, it has always been since I've been doing internet and email lists and communications since the mid-early 90s. And it has been almost impossible for us to have a communication with someone that's, one, private. All right, how private that's going to be? Well, they're using Tor and other stuff, whatever. Okay, I just make it go where. Can I communicate with someone and it be private? Well, you know, maybe, maybe not. That's, you know, it's one of the primary things that we're looking for. But the big thing is that even if it's, I mean, because eventually you don't want this data to be private, you know, what we're trying to do here with Scuttlebutt, it's a reputation score. When you go to eBay and you buy something for $2,000 or $3,000, you're counting on, you know, the reputation of them. If they have, you know, 97.6, you know, percent five-star super-duper, they did what they said, reviews of 5,000 people. And I go, okay, you know, that seems cool. So then you get into something where somebody's given a ranking on a restaurant. Well, you go to Yelp and it'll have, oh, this place is great, or oh, it sucks so bad, or oh, whatever. And they affect the livelihood of someone owning a restaurant. And it could be a competitor that just goes in and has a bunch of their customers, or their softball team doesn't like their softball team. I mean, you know.
Or cancel culture.
Right. You know, exactly. It's like, so if I got, you know, that's a perfect example. When you have, they're going to cancel you. They're bad because, okay, why are they bad? Who is it that's saying they're bad? What's the reputation of the person saying it? So when you get the cancel culture, that's a really good example, thank you, is that cancel culture comes out, yeah, and they say, this is who we're targeting, we don't let, well, in their crowd, in their group, you know, they'll go, yeah, man, they're an onward soldier of communists going to kick ass, and I'm joining with them, and we're going to whatever. I'm like, all right, fine, peace out. But what if I, you know, not looking by their criteria? I remember there was a marketing, it was a purchasing recommendation app, kind of like an Amazon thing. It was called Alanovo, and it was done by an Oracle officer that went off, and they needed my support. And I was, you know, a talk show in Arizona here in Phoenix area, and they wanted my endorsement when I was at Air America because they were definitely all progressive. And I go, look, you're talking to the libertarian man. I'm not with these guys. So they take me to lunch, and we liked each other, and it was cool. And what their idea was is that they wanted to have, you know, be the change they wanted in the world by using wallet voting. Well, I was all into that. I'm for boycott, whatever, man. Let's do it. Well, their criteria, they had the criteria set. They go, we're going to buy, you're looking for a camera? Yeah, well, Nikon does this, and Canon does that, and, you know, Olympia doesn't do that. And, you know, it's who pays their employees for health insurance? Who gives a living wage? Who has, you know, women and minority employees with a percentage of blah, blah, blah? I mean, whatever it was, social agenda that they had, they wanted to promote that. Well, they gave the criteria, and then you invested by buying or even investing or whatever based on their criteria. And I go, I think this is awesome, but where's my criteria? Where do I set my standard? You know, where do I go, yeah, but how much do they give the, you know, space exploration? You know, how much do they, you know, maybe I want Baby Seals clubbed. I mean, you know, what, where do I get to put in my criteria? And, for, and I go, well, I'm not interested. Well, then they thought about it a little while, just like this guy in Russia. And they go, you know, that is a good idea. You know, we want to have, you know, kind of this progressive mindset, people wanting to do it anyway. So they changed it to where you get to set your own criteria. Boom. Overnight, the funding went away. They went, they go, the people that were wanting this, now hell no, we don't want the people to have their own criteria. Didn't you understand this, right, boy? We wanted them to do what we wanted them to do for the reasons we want. And I'm like, ah, see, we learned a lesson there. Okay, I'm not interested. You know, so but the tech was there, and the idea, and the support from even the coders, you know. So you have the people that are actually doing it understand this. You want to be progressive down to the will and the desires of the individual. Man, you can progress all you want on that. So I've been through this before, and I understand that the criteria oftentimes is not what they want. And that's what I was thinking of when we were talking with Andrew before. And, you know, that this was, seemed like that was where his proclivities lied. He was kind of leaning that way. He wanted to do it, but they had, you know, the money or somebody going, we want to do it this way. And I see that all the time. There's the talent. There's the, you know, group of 18-year-old kids sitting in the corner on their $5,000 laptop or whatever while they're coding for freedom, or they want, or they don't even know any better, and you get some shiny tie, or, you know, they're always in their Armani suit without a tie, and go up there, hey, what's up? You know, you want a white picket fence around a house and a babe and a BMW? You know, do this for me. Yeah, sure, whatever, man, hire me. And they don't really know what they're doing. They're just coding another chain in the link, another link in the blockchain to the crown. So I'm going, nope. So when we were talking to him on Scuttlebutt, and he saw it laid out and what we were doing and why, then they're like, oh, okay, I think we might be able to do that. You can do that. Man, I'll be your cheerleader, man. We'll do something. We'll work out something. What we got to do? So this is, I'm interested, and I'm glad John got that. Now, we're going to be having, he won't come on for like another hour or so. So what we're going to do is go ahead, and we may break this up a little bit on the audio that I cut in. But I wanted to talk to John because today I'm always saying, I'm going, you know, it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And a lot of people are like, what the hell is he talking about? And I'm going, I mean, you can see it happen, whatever it is. I go, is this it? Are we there? Are we there yet? Here it comes, you know. And now we have silver just today. I'm showing it up $2.30-something cents. And I knew this because silver is one of the most manipulative. This is the one thing I've gone through phases in all my activism. To convince people that there is even a problem is like an act of God right there. You know, hey, man, these guys are, oh, you conspiracy theory nut and whatever. Until it's common knowledge that, yep, that's what they're doing and they're scumbags and it's too late and what are you going to do about it? So now I'm looking at what's happening, and but we've been advocating that there has been a suppression in precious metals prices forever. And you'll hear all the excuses, no, no, they wouldn't do that, they can't do that, why would they do that? And of course they are, and now it's gotten to where it's, you know, silver, the common belief, it's never a belief until it is, that it's being heavily manipulated. Well, how that's done is with shorting. They'll come in and they'll go, yep, we buy a future contract really, really low, really low, really low. And how do you turn gold and silver into paper? With ETFs, transfer funds of what does ETF mean, John?
Exchange traded fund. Okay. So it's basically a share. Like they take a pool of assets usually, and then they create shares out of those assets. So it's basically almost like a corporation holding it, and then what you have is just basic share units that people buy into the ETF. So that's what it is. It's
yeah, but where's the silver?
It has nothing to do really with
where's the silver? I mean, you know, they got a fund. I mean, where's the hold something? I mean, based on what?
Yeah, that's no 100%. And like, I don't know the exact numbers. I do know some numbers that have come out about gold, and I know that gold, people have set as high as 700 contracts per physical metal available. So, but the problem with
you mean the same ounce of silver is sold like 700 times? So it's like they got contracts 700
anywhere. Like I heard anywhere from 300 to 700, but it's insane. No matter what, though, those numbers are real, right? And you know, we can't. That's not sustainable. That's way worse than fractional reserve banking. You know, like at least that was 10-to-1 units. You know. But here it's like, you know, with the, you know, the COMEX gold and the silver contract, especially gold that I know of, it's, you know, way beyond, you know, insanity. And when you go and look at, for example, the, if you want to buy, for example, right now, you could go and buy one Canadian maple leaf. Like I'm looking at Canadian prices here, but it's 10 Canadian dollars. So it's about $7 of a, what do you call premium right now on those coins? So really, like you're starting to see ramp.
Wait! You're saying $7 premium on an ounce of silver?
Yeah.
Were you talking gold or silver? You're saying 7 ounces on silver.
This is silver. No, $7. Gold wouldn't be that much, but it's actually, and that is with a 50-cent rebate, by the way, on top of that. So, it's getting pretty crazy, and apparently a lot of silver stores like Gold Silver, SD Bullion. I don't know about your guy as well. You know, they're running out of silver coinage overnight because a ton of people have been buying and piling into to the silver market. Good to see that a lot of people have been buying physical silver, and you know, like not the crap. The ETF contracts that are out there from silver, because who knows how much. The other thing too, though, is that I'm not sure, like, because JP Morgan was forced to buy a whole bunch of physical silver back when Max Keiser ran a campaign called buy silver, crash JP Morgan. So he basically forced them to, you know, have to buy physical silver in order to cover their shorts, in order so they didn't go bust. So I don't know exactly what the position of JP Morgan is right now, if they're able to, you know, fight back. But the thing is, you know, the ETF shorts, if they collapse, you know, SLV, and for what's called a force majeure, where basically people are claiming, you know, want their gold and silver. You could claim it when the contract is due. So because it's a future contract, right? So when the contract is due, you could ask for your silver back. Well, if enough people do that, suddenly there's not enough silver to cover the paper.
Hell, if almost anybody does that, it's going to go. This is...
Yeah, and that...
They've been offering get, back. They go, no. What you want is... I was talking to Tim Fry, you know, of R&R, which is a Robertson Roberts that we have up on the top left of Freedom Scenics. You'll see their ticker up there, and you go in there, and you can see. Right now, just click and go see what the prices are and their premiums. He was going, you know... When you do a futures and you want, you got a good deal on it. You're a silver broker. I need the silver. Give me my silver. And they go, it was here a minute ago. Let me check my pocket. It was next to my heart. Sorry, we don't have it. So what they want to do is they'll give you more money, or they'll give you another, you know, better deal on the next future or some crap like that. But they don't want to give you the silver. You know, you wanted silver? You bought futures on silver and you actually want the silver? What kind of moron are you, you know? And I'm going, wow. And this was years ago. You know, this is back in the 09, 10 that we saw that this was happening. And they actually, one time, they got lawyers involved, you know, wanting to say, well, can we compel delivery of the, you know, I mean, it got bad. They didn't even have a mechanism for it. It was like, well, nobody ever, like, just wanted to take it when we offered them like more money. I don't want the money. I want the silver, you know? And you're in that mindset. Things are not as they seem. So I've known that this has been a thing for a while. So I'm just going, all right, so what happens when everybody wants their silver? You know, what happens when they, you know, put a call on and say, give me? Well, we Gerald Celente did this with gold, and he put in with, what was it, MF Global and, you know, is God, who was it? Diamond or
MF Global?
Yeah. So he goes in. He says
John Corzine.
Corzine. So he goes in. He says, "I want this contract on gold, and I'm going to get the gold, and I get a good deal on the gold. I think it's a good deal, and I got the future gold." It comes, you know, all of a sudden, and it's gone. And what they do is they call rehypothecation. They take the collateral, the assets of investors or somebody else that get it's in the smart fine print. Did you agree? You totally agreed, because it said that they could use your money, your investment, your gold, your contract as collateral for them to do stuff. Well, they invested heavily in Greece's debt, and the European Central Bank didn't bail them out in time to meet their deadline or whatever, and they had a call and it's gone. And he, whoa, that was my contract. That was my money I put in there. And you go, yep, says right here that we can do that. Rehypothecation, sucks to be you. And I'm going, you know, these are, you know, it's an expensive lesson, but it's definitely a lesson. So this whole market is just, and precious metals is done. And when they started doing ETFs, what that allowed was somebody to call it gold and silver investment. And how they gamed the system was to allow retirees and self-directed IRAs, and I got, you know, my 401k and the money and that. Yes, you are allowed to take your retirement and everything you saved for all your life, and you're allowed to move it into almost silver. It's kind of almost kind of based maybe a little bit of silver in this ETF that trades on the price of silver, but really they're manipulating the price of silver. And it's not silver. It is just, they turned it into paper, fractions of silver. And so when you're talking, you know, 70 to 1, 700 to 1, 50 billion to 1, it doesn't matter. They just, whatever tie there is accidental. I mean, you know, they just do what they want to do. So this is, when we had our party, Hancock's or leaving party here in Phoenix in March. I remember it was March 21st. A good friend of mine that I've known, the first libertarian I ever met back in 1991, man. I mean, it was, you know, he was the guy. And he's a good, you know, faithful Catholic, got a relationship with the man, and kind of, but he became a libertarian because of that. You know, Jesus is libertarian, man. He doesn't, you know, follow me, I'm light in the way, but not with coercion, force of, you know, I kind of get a witness. So it was, he's libertarian for principled reasons. And as we were talking and so on, he decided, he goes, all right, Ernie, he'd been right before, and he'd been screaming this forever. And he took a lot of his retirement and he put it into SLV, the ETF for silver. And when he did, now it's shot to the moon. He's happy now. And I'm going, yeah, well, you better be happy, get it, because they're going to happy take it, You need to get in some physical, do the McDuck roll around and, run it through your fingers kind of silver. I wasn't talking about this. So if you made bank, man, you better get it, So he made out with that. Now we're looking at land out here and so on. He was one of the main guys that, yep, I'm ready to, let's go get some too. So we had dinner just Friday, and I made this, it's going to keep going up. He's going to be making bank, but the conversion from that as a retirement account into actual physical silver, how hard do you think that is, John?
Well, that's going to be the problem, and the problem is if enough people comes and wants their silver, what are you going to do? You're going to end up with what's called that force majeure, where basically the fund have to shut down because they can't, give out any physical silver, and they just give you US dollars, right? So you still get your money, but it's not silver. I'm sorry. And that's what's going to happen, potentially.
Will they even be able to afford to give you your money?
For a long time. Well, who knows, right? Like, it's it all depends on, the contracts that are available and the fund versus how many people bought in. You get even a paper manipulation on top of that, right? So, there is of course problems that could come from that, where basically the fund sends a nice letter out to everyone and said like, yeah, sorry, you can't withdraw right now. Just like who was it? Oh, it was GameStop stocks. You could buy them, but you could sell them.
They picked a bunch of them. It was some airline.
Robin Hood showing its true colors.
It was airline. It was AMC Theaters. It was a lot of these they target. And this has been going on forever. And they wouldn't say it. I mean, I kind of suspected what it was, but they wouldn't say it. They never say that. Well, they were naked short selling. They don't like using that word. And that's what's going on. And this is how he had a relationship with Patrick Byrne, because in 09, 10, 11, we've interviewed him regularly over the years. And the main focus was, he came and spoke at one of our Freedom Summits, and he started to see that we're, there was this, Freedom Ron Paul Lovolution kind of Porcupine Freedom Festival, anarchist, voluntarist, Austrian economic, knew what the hell he was talking about crowd. And he's like, I found my tribe. It was, man, and then the blockchain thing came, and so all of a sudden, he found, he goes, I'm not the only one, because he knew, he was confident in what, he understood the world to be, but he didn't know anybody else. Man, is anybody paying attention? Yes. A bunch of liberty-minded, Austrian, a lot of libertarian anarchists knew exactly what he was talking about. Well, the reason he would come on the show is because we understood what was happening. And he discovered and went through the process of how they can sell short more stock than is in existence. He goes, whoa, wait a minute. There's more out there doing this than exist. They were doing a GameStop on overstock. And you're going, he's like, what the hell? How do they? So he figured out what was going on, weathered that. But then he did T0 with a zero settlement days or whatever on a transaction. The transaction is the settlement. None of this three-day wait stuff is kind of the little fudge in the system where the banks can make the money. You can see the bleed. He goes, the system is just bleeding money for no productive reason. They're not doing anything. They just set it up that way so, the gazillionaires can rip off everybody at a regular, steady bleed bookie gets a cut rate. And he's going, this is not productive at all. So he created a system that bypassed that. Well, guess what? The system don't like that. They go, whoa. Well, we got a whole kinds of layers of everybody making some money. We got to have the money to pay off the congressman, and you're taking that away from us. So how are we going to pay off congressmen then, So this has been pretty obvious to a lot of people that someday it was going to come to an end. Well, when you got a bunch of people, and I'm sure there's some guys that understand it and help cheerlead it. And we haven't got to the whole story of that and studied what's going on there yet. But they get on social media, in this case Reddit, and they go, all right, you want to know what's going to happen? They screwed you and your family, and your parents lost their home, and they did. You want to get back at them? You want a little bit? Take $1,000 and do this. We'll kick their ass. So this is what's happening. I've been seeing memes or, you know, letters or commentary, people going, yeah, you know, screw them. I did it for my parents, for my dad, for my, you know, I don't care. You know, a friend, you know, different friends I talk to, and so they go, yeah, I do. You know, one, a close person in my family, I don't want to say, he goes, yeah, I have $4,000. It was last summer they were doing this kind of stuff. He goes, I just bought in, put in $4,000. Now it's $45,000. They didn't look at it, don't care, screw them. It's just a decision. And a lot of times they don't understand this. Like when they're shorting Tesla, the people in support of Tesla are not necessarily there just to make the money. They're investing in a dream. And I've seen this before. It was Steve Jobs and Apple. They were trying to take them down. Whatever. Nope, the Steve Jobs fanboys were like, nope, 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 nope. Same thing with Elon. You know, he goes public. There's a bunch of hardcore, I got some money, and people, a bunch of people that don't have a lot of money, they're going, no, we're not following your, you know, putting the nose ring in for you to be chaining us up and dragging us around. We're just, nope, we're going after. Well, these guys, no matter how much they give negative news, no matter how much they got Jim Cramer going buy, 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 or sell, 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 it doesn't matter. Because people with information are starting to figure it out. And they don't want them to be able to crowdsource. There will be some legislation. There will be some, you can't do it, you control it, and it's going to violate, you know, your A-plus social score kind of something. There has to be some manipulation to keep the people from rising up against they, them, those that want to just use us as cattle and glean from us. So I'm going, okay, this is a very, 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 very good example of it, what happened to GameStop and some of these others. But if you really want to hurt them, if you really want to get some, just go buy some ounces of silver. It's now $30. You know, I've been screaming, buy it forever. And anything under 20, just buy it. You know, whatever you can afford. Well, now it's going to be anything under, I don't know, 30. 40, 50, 100, whatever, you know, just keep buying silver. Because not only is it going to be, you know, a good and hard and solid, I can touch it investment, it will screw the living crap out of these guys. And they have built up so much animus from so many people that nobody's going to shed a freaking tear other than some congressman campaign fund. So that's my view on this. Now tell me the mechanics of how this would happen when people just go out and buy some physical ounces of silver. How will that impact this?
Well, how it would impact is that you get more and more distrust in the even in the currencies, right? Like the SLV garbage, you know, that's out there, the paper price. What you're seeing right now actually is a fight back by, you know, Wall Street. They're trying to sell off contracts right now. So you were up at almost 10% gain. Now you're down at 8.55 in a very, like, actually since we started talking. So they're really trying to fight back because they're afraid of a critical level, like a technical level, as you can call it, that is around 29.66 apparently is the technical. If it breaks above that, you know, even the algos might start buying it. So they're getting quite afraid potentially about it. And you know what, a 10% gain in silver is pretty insane. Like you might see 5%. People are, you know, bought into silver. It's really good to see that they're buying the physical metal. It's getting ripped off the store shelves. That is what you need to buy. Like, don't buy the garbage ETFs, you know. They are trying to, like, short the price, as you say, and, like, you know, sell off contracts that they have that are fake, basically, you know, that isn't even, you know, backed by silver because there's so many of them. And then, but then the problem is, like, you go to the silver dealers, well, they have like 10, 12, whatever dollars, you know, a premium on it, because that's the more of the real price. You get, you know, some folk called the backwardation as a, you know, as a academic term on it, where The paper price is so much lower than the physical price. So because the demand for the physical metal is way greater than the, you know, Wall Street trying to control the price. So it doesn't matter. Like, they could try to, you know, control their price and, you know, shove it down the drain. But the problem is, like, how are they going to keep on doing that, though, when people keep on buying physical metal and there's a massive shortage on it, you know, huge demand and less and less supply? You can't really, like, you know, manipulate that, in my point of view, if you're the banksters. But they'll try their best to, you know, shove down the price. Like, it's interesting, they pushed it down, you know, about 2% right now. But it's, you know, they can keep on pushing that down. But I think the kids, you know, with
don't
their
care.
Stimulus checks, they'll come in.
That's one thing they were blaming it on.
And fight these guys, because they really hate. What you got to remember is they really hate these guys, you know, they destroyed their parents back in 2008. A lot of them, they saw, you know, the parents, so they had to live with their parents because there's no jobs. They're really struggling financially, and so now that they're finally getting some money, you know, like, let's you know, the Occupy Wall Street has become smart, and suddenly they're, you know, looking at this, like, you know, it's time to really screw these bastards over and make them hurt. Because I think it was as much as, like, what was it, 30 billion or something loss that Marvin Capital or somebody took because of the GameStop kerfuffle. And then you got to remember, on top of that, you have derivatives, you know, like, credit default swaps that are bets on, you know, defaults and all this stuff, and then you have on the side, you have other derivatives that, you know, futures, put options, all those stuff that are, you know, surrounding that one little asset, and so there's just like a tremendous amount of extra assets that are just fake fluff on top of everything, and when those starts to go, when you get, you know, these call, like, different options or different things starts to, you know, unwind because of, you know, the massive volatility, and it didn't go the way people thought it would, then you're going to get substantial losses. So now they got bailed out by other hedge funds. But, no, you know what? Suddenly it really starts bleeding, and they're going to have to bail out. The Fed is come back into the market again and start bailing out.
Okay, whoa. Stop.
That's
back.
What they do.
Now, you know, explain they this got, how the Fed yeah, does but, this. The Fed comes back in, because what you're talking about, the, you know, the plunge protection team, the financial market presidential council on we rule you manipulate over the weekend people. And, you know, I have that as a news alert on my email, and it go months, years without anything. And then all of a sudden there's a bunch of, well, you know, financial market team of the plunge protection on China. It's all China. Because China did something about China, and here comes the silver thing. Well, I guarantee, because that plunge protection team, that is, I don't know what the hell it is. It's a presidential advisory of, you know, it's, we have some kind of...
It's a consortium of banks that they use to be in the market to buy or sell.
Well, it's also, you know, treasury. The that's commodities basically. Market guy. You have the, you know, like the, you know, the head of the commodities market, or head of this, or head of that, and, you know, and it's just... You know, it's they, them, those. You know, I can see what's going on, but what yeah. they do is on the weekend they'll sit there and they go on about collusion and, you know, they antitrust and you can't, you know, rig the market or LIBOR scandals and fixed prices of entry to blah blah blah. Well, that's exactly what they do. It's okay for them to do it. You know, they do it all the freaking time and massively. It is not a free market. I guarantee that. So over the weekend, I don't even have to look, and I bet you there is. They got to make a decision. Do they come in and try and short and suppress? And oh yeah, you want to play? Let's play. And they push the silver down and try and screw everyone. Well, what happens when they don't care? They just go and buy any and every bit of physical silver that's available. And how does that affect the spot price up there, because sooner or later there's no silver. And what they do is they have the commercial silver they do in, you know, 100-ounce bars or whatever, or 1,000-ounce bar, whatever, big bars, and they go, all right, go start making rounds with these. And that's what they're going to start doing, because they can make more money selling, oh my God, a premium of $5, $6 a freaking round, and it costs them like, you know, nothing, six, you know, 50 cents, 30 cents, whatever, to mint something, and they put it in their own. We got Freedom's Phoenix silver rounds. I mean, you know, I buy in bulk, man, I do it up. I'll charge a premium on it, and let's go get some. So all of a sudden now, you know, I have a bunch of them. I'd probably sell them. That'd be good. But the you have that conversion. Well, I don't know how much metal there is, and there's certainly going to be a delay, but there's nothing for anybody to buy now. So now I don't know what they're going to do. And there's not, like, they can keep control of it, and it's not an ETF thing. It's not on the stock market. It's just there's no physical. You know, the people just bought it up. So I don't know how they're going to keep trading, because if they are willing to go 70 to 1, why not 7,000 to 1 on these contracts? What's to stop them?
Well, the thing is, like, the contracts is, like, you know, such fluff, and it's their only way that they can control it. And they're actually being caught, you know, rigging the markets. Deutsche Bank, it was Scotia Bank in Canada, a whole bunch of other banks got caught rigging the, like, doing those naked short selling with the, you know, the prices. So they've been caught doing that already. The thing is, they have litigation funds that you just, you know, just like we manipulated the price, but we'll pay you like 10% of what we gained.
Government gets a payday back,
you know. Yeah, they got their own fund. They actually have litigation funds, they're called, every bank, that they use for, you know, sinister activity, and then they pay you the 10% back. What you got to understand, like, when you go and look at, like, I look at silver, gold, bull here in Canada, and when you go and, you know, want to buy, you know, a bullion, you're looking at a price that's, you know, about $10 above spot, and when you look at the price, that's almost like 25-30% premium. That is pretty insane, like, you know, compared to the actual price that you see, the spot price that, you know, derives from the silver ETF price. So there's definitely a lot of pressure on there. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, maybe they have to go in and take some of the secret silver that they have at the Royal Canadian Mint and start minting some more Canadian maple leaves. If, you know, they're really starting to get short supply, they have those big 400-ounce bars there. They also had some.
Do they
also parked the silver for? This is interesting. They also parked the silver there for the World Trade Center. Is in Winnipeg in our mint here, where they mint just coinage, not the precious metal that they do in Ottawa. So you know the guy would show me. It's like, yeah, you, look at this. Like, this is actually like bars that they pulled out of the World Trade Center. So. You know, there's a lot of sinister activity going on in Manitoba, because it's a, you know, a huge trade center. What used to be one of the biggest places, one of the most fastest growing North American places in the world in the 60s. And so you had, and it was the financial sector that just boomed and, you know, massive in Manitoba at the time, in Winnipeg, the capital city. So you have a lot of that old money still slushing around, and there's a lot of sinister activities going on in Winnipeg. You know, there's when you get to that point, you know, you're gonna like run out of silver, they're gonna be panicking. They might, you know, tap into those supplies to try to stave off, you know, the massive short supply that they have. But, you know, that's going to be a delay. Then they're having, like, now they've done interprovincial traveling, you know, bans. Not bans, but you've got to quarantine for 14 days when you travel from state to state, basically. Like, it would be the equivalent in the United States. And also, they banned travel going down to all the places where you could get vitamin D. Here in Canada. So that's another reason to buy silver, is to, you know, you gotta, if you want to have a, you know, proper protection, you gotta have your silver. It's the best, you know, to kill germs or whatever.
I took two ounces.
This is gonna be very interesting.
I took 2 ounces of silver I put them in, you know, like distilled water, and you run a current between them, and all of a sudden the water turns kind of amber color and so on. You got colloidal silver. And this is, silver has been such a benefit to me on so many things that I don't get sick anymore. Infections heal faster, even fungus stuff. What I mean, silver is, everybody just, and you don't need, hell, you could use a one coin, chop it in half, and use it for the rest of your freaking life. I mean, it's, you know, 1 ounce of silver can save your life. I mean, literally. So I'm going, this is, this is, if everybody just got some silver. I mean, itty bitty, you can get, go to the jeweler and get little, you know, jewelry strips of it, you know, of pure silver, and do this, and it, and it's being done. You know, people are starting to realize this. Grandma was right. So I'm, I think just out of the health utility of it, that becomes more and more commonly known, you know, people be making their own. And I'm, I don't see how they're going to, I don't know. This is definitely going to settle out. And silver, do you see, a lot of people argue that silver could go surpass gold. And I'm suspecting that if it does or even gets close, they can't manipulate gold anymore. So what happens to silver will soon, right on the heels, if not even before, gold's going to go. What, who do you think the impact is on gold?
Well, the thing is, what's going to really go is, like when you see the prices going up, is the trust in the currency. That's what's really going to go. When people start piling into precious metals, you know, it's all a trust game. And we, you know, back to where we're going to be in a half an hour or so, talking about trust. You know, it all comes back to trust. And when people lose faith in any currency, you know, it could go really fast. That gold price, that silver price will skyrocket. Look at Venezuela. You know, the gold and silver price went tremendously crazy up. Like, the stock markets went up, but the gold and silver price beat that by far. So people will levitate towards those things. You know, the government could even ban it. You know, they could do what they did in Zimbabwe, where it was, you know, you were charged a sentence to death if you actually traded or you used silver or gold.
Really?
You know, during 2018, in 2008, when they had their hyperinflation. But that didn't stop people from using it. Because why the heck would you use a currency that is so severely devalued that, you know, you can't buy anything with it? You, like, people aren't stupid. So, like, that can stay, like, a death sentence can stay while people are using it, because just the value was gone. And it happens fast. Like, this is the thing, is, like, people think that it's going to be like a, you know, slowly is going to increase faster and faster inflation. Usually it just happens within 6 months to, you know, 8-9 months, hyperinflation or something like that. So, and then of course with, you know, silver, it's mass, you know, there's a lot less silver in the ground. Silver is not mined nowhere near what gold is. It's a bimetal usually at, you know, a lot of the silver mines. So there's a huge potential, and then on top of that, you know, the Green New Deal, all this crap that they're going to do, and the future, you know, being, like, we're not going to go away from technology. So the future is going to be full of the need of silver, which is one of the base metals, you know, to create circuitry and everything, and computers, and that, you know, run society today in a lot of cases. So we're just going to see a lot of more of this you know, happening. And you have to do, though, is like when you go look at the prices here, you know, it's interesting because when you pay by, you know, cash or by Bitcoin on, for example, Silver Global, you get $2 less that you have to pay for it. So if you use PayPal or credit cards, you know, that takes longer to settle. You know, Bitcoins or Litecoin, they didn't even take Litecoins here, you know, that actually settles very fast. Within 10 minutes, you have approved a transaction, right, with Bitcoin. It's a lot faster with Litecoin, for example. But, you know, that's, and then it's settled, you know, with credit cards, PayPal, you know, it takes a couple of days, 3-4 days sometimes, you know, for it to come through and settle as a settled payment with the payment processor or whoever they use.
Yeah, but so there's no refunds.
Actually, with their price. Go ahead.
There's no refunds. You know, that's one of the things that, this precious metal brokers, they would have all these, ooh, I want a bunch of it, and have it shipped to here, and it gets done and shipped, and, you know, the credit card was stolen, or it got canceled, or, you know, they did, and they're out. You know, that's why Robertson Roberts doesn't take credit cards, because it, you know, they got ripped off, you know, too many times. Said, nah, we're done. We don't feed the banks. You know, we'll do crypto. You know, they're one of the first ones that would take crypto in exchange for precious metals, because when it goes, it's done, you know? So you definitely got to have crypto as part of your, you know, survival skills of I need, but, you know, it's got its own limitations too. And I tell you, you know, hauling around a bunch of silver all the time sucks, you know, that's kind of heavy. Gold, but then, you know, you lose a couple of, somebody takes in your gold and you're like, you know, lost a bunch of gold. So, you know, what do you do? How do you store it? What time capsule out in the middle of the desert do you have yours? Where is it stored? Well, then you get into, who was it? It was J.P. Morgan, I think it was, that were charging for wealthy guys, you know, storing their precious metals. Well, then one guy goes, okay, well, I want my metal. You know, fork it over. I'm here. Give me. And they go, well, we don't have it here, right? Well, what do you mean? I'm paying you to store it. Where is it? Well, we're going to have to purchase it. Wait. So I'm paying you per month to not store something? What the hell? Sue, give me my money back. So that became a big deal in, 10 years ago, you know? And
we had several banks here in Canada as well that happened to people. I had a guy, you know, through LinkedIn, he said, like, John, I got to tell you my story. You know, don't use BMO, Banco Montreal's silver trusts or whatever they call them. He said, like, they don't have it because he wanted his physical silver. There was nothing there. Typical banks are scam, though. You know, they've been known for this for centuries.
They're charging you for holding your physical silver. That's the deal. That's the promise. They don't care. And I don't know how much, you know, they're liable for, if there's some crime or anything. You know, they, you know, probably make you whole and give you an extra, you know, toaster or something. But, you know, I see this coming to an end. I always knew it was going to come to an end. It was just how. And it was just, like it always is, information. You know, it's just people know. And if they know where to, and the bad guys know, if everybody starts buying silver, you know, How much longer are we going to be able to sell this pretend silver, this paper silver? Well, as long as the system, you know, supports it, well, what happens? You can only take your money out of your retirement, go buy precious metals, and store it at your home. Now, they get a lot of, oh, we can do it with a trust, and you do this, and you do that, and a beneficiary of it, kind of, you know, and it's really a different entity that's actually holding it in a safe in your basement. I mean, you know, it's that kind of crap. But they don't like it. I mean, there's all kinds of, man, they can come after you on that one. So by manipulating with force and fraud, what do? All the money that you've saved, you're not allowed to use it to buy precious metals. Unless you take the tax hit when you get, you know, I'm just taking it out. Well, you're going to have to pay, whatever, give me. So say it's 20%. And I personally tell you, you know, friends and supporters and readers and so on, took out a lot of their retirement in 2020. And the reason was because they knew when Biden came in, there were going to be some tax increases, and the Trump tax cut was going to be rescinded, and blah, 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 blah. So if they, and they'll go retroactive to the beginning of 21. Doesn't matter if they don't do it until next November or something. So they're going, yeah, we need to get it out in 20, pay the tax, and then go buy precious metals. When they buy precious metals, whatever they paid in tax, they already made back. It's done. We win. Ha, 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 ha. So if anybody that done that, you know, they're still doing it, they do it. Now, take that. All right. I'm not a financial planner and everything, and you know, so don't, you know, what do I care? But I don't have any licensing or somebody can take away, so I can say whatever the hell I want. And I'm saying buy freaking silver. That's what I'm saying. You know, you want to get gold, whatever. I probably should convert some more to gold just for carrying around easier. But, you know, this is, this is it. And they go, when is it, Ernie? When? I go, I don't know. I'm thinking this is it. So when this whole financial system comes crashing down, it's going to be from something exactly like this. It's going to be individual people that can do something that, no, you don't have to go get an Ameritrade account. You don't have to go and do anything. You go to the local pawn shop. You go to some gold dealer, broker, coin, whatever. I wish to get an ounce of silver. Well, my family does this with my grandkids. They actually go to, they made a bunch of money. They work the summer. When we were moving, we were paying grandkids to help us, you know, then getting little spaces in the attic. So we were paying them in silver. And whatever cash that we did, we made a deal with their parents that they would take the cash so they knew how to do it. They went to the coin dealer and bought silver. Then we bought them little safes they got in their closet, they put in. So all of a sudden, a little bit that was like nothing, you know, all of a sudden they got a few hundred dollars in silver. Hell, I was a little kid, I had a few hundred dollars. And then you got to beat them over the head and go, look, this is not delayed spending. This is not, ooh, it went up, now I can buy a bigger bike. You know, I can buy more video games. Nope, nope, nope. This is like you get married by a house kind of stuff. You know, you keep this, you're going to kick yourself in the butt if you don't save. And you're all like going, yeah, okay, you know, we're good. We'd be filthy, stinking, rich. So what's the other thing we did? One of my grandsons, you'll see on Freedom's Phoenix, he's only 10 years old, and he sees some cool stuff. He's homeschooled now and all this, and he sees cool stuff and tech that he likes. It's Tech Buddy. When you see on Freedom's Phoenix, somebody, it says Tech Buddy did it, because we call him Buddy because he has the same name as his dad and whatever. So Tech Buddy, he puts that up there. He's getting paid. Every time, you know, I don't care. I go, no, you got to get paid. So you give him a little bit, you know, give him, you know, a teeny bit of something every month or so. I'll count up how many he put up. That's what Donna does. We count up how many, and boom, we send him crypto. Well, what do you give, you know, how do you do crypto with a kid? You know, they're always losing phones and kind of passwords. And I'm sitting there going, so his dad goes, no, we'll just do a paper wallet. So then, okay, well, now we got a paper wallet. So we go, all right. This is how it works, you know, here's what, and I spend a dollar to it, and then my son comes up and he goes, security violation, boom, and he took the dollar off of the paper wallet, go, that, now you got to do another one, security violation. So, of course, you know, my grandson kept going around with his hand over the private key, no, while we were doing it, keep dad away from it, because my son did that to me one time. It was when the price of crypto was shooting to the moon, and I had Mycelium gave out dollar. They were just a dollar, and they had like a couple of hundred of them that we did at a Bitcoin summit on Pi Day 3/14/15. 1/4/15. Yeah, so 3/14/15, we did a Bitcoin summit in Phoenix. Well, we put those at every place, and we explained cold wallets and how they work, and yada 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 yada. Well, at the end, you know, a lot of people, they took theirs and so on. A lot of people just left them on the table. They didn't know what the hell, you know, they're like, what's this? So Donna picked them all up and put them in one of the, you know, with all the other trash and so on, our flyers and bumper stickers and everything. She put it in a plastic box thing and put it on the shelf. You know, Davi was going through looking for more bumper stickers and stuff to do when he ships out and things. And he finally goes, do these have any on them? I go, oh, my God, those are... They were a dollar. What do you think they are from 15 now? Well, we started sweeping them. It was $2,600 worth. I go, holy crap. And then I left one out because I did them all at one time with a friend of mine that did in transaction fee can combine where it won a gazillion dollars. And then it started going to the moon, and I left one there as an example for the audience. So I go, yep, see, if I do this, it's going to be a gazillion dollars of, you know, transaction fee, and that sucks. It was like $42. It went from a dollar. Back then, I don't know what the hell it would have been now. So I had it sitting there on my desk on the studio. Well, it was Christmas morning, and one of my sons comes in, and he goes, I want to do a bunch of paper wallets and give to the nieces and nephews and the grandkids. So he did like $100 back then of each one, which is worth God knows what now. Okay? So he did that and saw that, and he goes, security violation, boom, and he swept it. I go, you little snot. He goes, hey, man, security violation. I'm like, oh, you little snot. But out of $42, he only got $10 of it. It was 30-something dollar transaction or whatever. And I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? You know, so I use that and I saved that and marked all on that one little, you know, paper wallet and showed it to everybody what it is. So that is another way of being able to use this for a grandchild. I'm going, okay, so we created a paper wallet, and I just send, now that I got it in my memory, whatever, I just send it to that, and his dad made two copies, put one in his safe in case and whatever, because, you know, kids. So I'm going, yeah, but your dad's got it in there. You know, he, who's the banker now? Who could screw you? You better get responsible and learn how to do this stuff. So that's what we're doing with Pirates Without Borders, is decentralizing this kind of wealth management, retirement, using money, down to you, and you need to understand the tech and who's screwing you or who has the capability of screwing you. So you think that by buying silver, you're protected. Well, you are, way more than a lot of other things, you know, but they manipulate it. They manipulate the price of it, just like they manipulate the price of the dollar. By printing a whole bunch more, they're having the money that you have just devalues. It's just being robbed from you while it's sitting in your safe. You know, I'm going, holy crap, where does it ever stop? Well, you got to get the stuff that you buy, you have the silver for, like food, you know, the way to, you know, get or have water, you know, your shelter. Well, then that's why it's so important to me to be able to live and not have them go, ah, you're not allowed. You got evicted because we got a gun. I mean, you know, wow, what's the purpose of government? So these all fundamental basic things are all coming to pass. And who do you associate with? Who do you work with? Who are the people that you do this with? So people of like mind. That is the one of the biggest things, is the value of contact, relationships, and information, and who you have protecting your rights with you, because I don't think anybody else is going to do it. So that's where Scuttlebutt comes in. You know, we need to have individuals, companies, and products and so on that have a reputation score that we can support, you know, that we can find, you know, common ground with. I'm willing to pay if you're willing to supply, you know, the service or good or whatever. And, you know, maybe somebody I want to hang out. Hell, somebody I want to marry. You know, this is going to be the greatest dating app ever. You know, and that came out. There was another woman that she was a blockchain expert. She's probably like in her mid-40s and had divorced and just looking, you know, frankly, to get laid. She's like, man, there's got to be somebody in this hotel. I'm at a conference where I can get some, you know, but it's, you know, all these guys, dating apps suck. I need to do a dating app for me. You know, weed through all this crap and get some. So she wanted to be able to have her own criteria and people be able to do a Yelp review on somebody. And I'm going, you know, that's interesting. And I'm wondering why dating apps don't do that. You know, Scuttlebutt will. You know, I don't know. You could have a ranking of whatever the hell you want. You know, my love life. Yeah, woo, you want to definitely hook up with this guy because he'd be awesome. So these.
Yeah, it might be that, you know, a lot of the people get chased off the app if they were rated.
If they were rated? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they may not want to. Yeah, exactly.
No.
I'm not looking for how many I can get on there. It's the quality of the people. They go, yeah, this doesn't. I tell you the reason why I thought it would be so important is because we're in the influence, an ocean of influence of a small number of people that are sociopaths, psychopaths, but they can't stay secret because they can't. They have a trail of dead bodies and dead relationships behind them. They just use people. They don't have any empathy. They can't help themselves. So if you have something like this over time, it may take a while, you know, it'll be, you know, probably not that long. Year, 2 years, 3, 4 years, you know, or hell, just people come on just to tell their story or whatever. But this ranking thing's going to happen. And I'm wondering, and I'm going, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything to me unless I have some kind of evaluation of the people given the ranking. Well, somebody that will come out and out a psychopath, you know, a lot of times are, you know, either victims or better than most, or it'll be found out. That's why I think scuttlebutt is so important, is that they're even talking about, you know, this has been brought up, I don't know how this will ever work out, but you can spot a sociopath by their PET scan of their brain. There's, you know, the ones that are, you know, kind of biologically this way. Someone they just made that way or just dicks or whatever. But biologically, you can have people, they just don't know. They, you know, yeah, I better act better because, you know, I get put in jail. But other than that, I don't care. You know, they just don't care. They don't have any empathy for their fellow man. So you have these people get outed as time goes on. Well, yeah, maybe they don't want to be on the app. Even better. You know, cool, because I don't have to deal with them. But when they get outed, they'll leave. And sooner or later, as time goes on, you have a pool of decent people that know that their actions are being archived. And not that you got a surveillance of every freaking thing they do, but the reaction, the fruits of their actions, you know, how it affects other people. And that is being recorded and blockchained. So am I afraid of, you know, every freaking bad relationship, a thing that I, you know, over the app? You know, I mean, you know, crap happens. You know, people, but as time goes on, you're going to see that the good people will rise to the top and the bad guys will fall off the bottom. And that's what I'm looking for. Because it was always about who are you going to let on your pirate ship? The precariat. Captain Mark of the precariat. Who gets to go on the ship? You know, where your reputation precedes you? Okay, well, let's check it out. You know, I don't care. You went by, you know, Captain Bly or Captain Kidd or, you know, Poindexter or whatever. I don't give a crap. Does it have to be, how do you know it's you? Under whatever alias that you used, does it have a biometric component? Is there a picture involved? Is there, you know, a face scan, peaky print of, I don't know. You know, I wouldn't surprise me, but I don't need it done by the man or centralized, or could it be, you know, compartmentalized and you get your ID certified or some crap like that. So these are things that we can talk about because I don't need somebody hijacking my reputation. So this is everything that we're talking about in financials, business, relationships, buying services and goods. This relates to everything because I kept saying, and anybody that's listened to my show for a long time, I go, the future is about credibility. Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Is it this network that is, was Fox going to, you know, advocate for freedom of the individual forever and always? No, you know, so how do you rate that? Finances are going to be everything to a lot of people here directly. So what's the news as you're sitting there, I'm yakking, you're looking, what's the news now? And where are we at here on silver?
Well, it's they're fighting forth and back. It's been extremely volatile, actually. Let's see here. Let's pull it back up again. I just had it up here. Come on. Right now it's down a little bit. It's at 29.27. That doesn't really matter. The price hasn't changed that much when you go on to. When you actually go on and look at the physical silver price. So, yeah, you can have that price go up and down. The thing is, though, you get to a point where suddenly the physical, you know, gold, silver price in the store is like 50, 60, while it's still 30, you know, yeah. US dollars. So, so that's the thing. It's like the physical, you can't change the price of actual physical metal that people want. You just can't manipulate that price completely. You can manipulate, you know, the spot price down a bit, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, people want buy it at a lot higher price because there's a want for it. So it's you know, we'll see where this is gonna go. You know, if the little millennials is gonna really whack, you know, Wall Street again, it'd be a lot of fun. I would love to, you know, I have the popcorn ready, you know, so it's going to take time to see where we're at, but I think it's going to be fun no matter what happens over the next couple of weeks now, because the kids has shown everybody that they can actually, you know, come out and whack Wall Street if they wanted to. And I think that, you know, when you give give them that much power, I think they'd be willing, especially with the hatred that they have for Wall Street, that, you know, we're going to see a lot more of these crazy craziness swings. And I think they really want to whack the silver market, because that was one of their big goals, you know. And if you go to Wall Street Bets on Reddit, so I think, you know, there's still time, you know. Like, it doesn't happen in seconds, you know. We still have a whole week ahead of us of time that, you know, suddenly you could see, you know, the massive attack happening, and the panic ensues on Wall Street, where they go crying foul on TV, the hedge fund owners. And you know, it was funny, I was watching Saturday Night Live, because my wife's like to watch it, and she was, you know, they were making fun of the millennials there for, you know, buying stocks. They were, you know, making them as fools. So it just shows you, you know, everybody's out to get these idiots, you know, the peasants that dare to, you know, do anything to fight their funders, you know. So I think people are really starting to feel it now, and especially with lockdowns left, right, and center in all these countries. You know, they locked down Canada completely now. You're going to see a lot more of people getting angry and coming after these guys,
because, well, they're
on a pedestal.
These people had money to do it with. They're going. They did it with their stimulus money. They got $1,000 or $600 or whatever dollars, and they're not playing fair. We got to stop giving them money to do this to us. Do you really think that played a role in it?
Yeah, I definitely think that you know, they got that extra money. And they were able to, you know, what are we going to do about it? We're stuck at home, do nothing. So they started trading. You know, it's interesting, you know, kind of like experts, you know, the demographic experts were waiting for, you know, when are the millennials actually going to enter the market? Well, it seemed to be that they entered the market at the time when they were locked up with getting free money from the government. And that's what's happening right now. They're starting to invest because they're getting out of age. You know, I'm at the far, far end of the millennial spectre. But, you know, when you get like mid-30s, you know, and early 30s, you start thinking about life and maybe start thinking about that, you know, be smart to maybe put a little bit of money aside for, you know, your future, and to save a little bit of money. So I think they started to actually, like, figure that out. And I think with, you know, the free money coming in, you know, there, it's just like, why not, you know, and why not come after, you know, Wall Street or others, you know, and attack them?
Yeah, especially when you, they deserve,
you know,
it.
They literally, yeah. Yeah, they totally deserve it. You know, it's hilarious watching them on programs. You know, they're like, oh, it's so bad. They lost $20 billion. Like, go and cry me a river, go in prison, you know, instead, and then we can talk. Yeah, no, it's, I'm serious, like, these, that scum, you know, that are out there, you know, like Bill Ackman and a whole bunch of other, like, big hedge fund guys that, you know, come out and say, like, was it Bill Ackman? He came on and said that we were in for the worst crisis in the world, you know, with the coronavirus. He was saying that, oh, it's like Hilton Hotels specifically is going to go to zero, you know, and then they bet against those things as they sold down, and then they bought them, you know, the stocks when they plummeted, because he went on TV and manipulated the market. But that's fine, you know, that's fine, you know. He was just a little bit emotional, so we gotta let him, you know, on there and spout his you know, theories and tell us the truth, you know. So yeah, those guys have, you know, have had a get out of jail free card. You know, it only gets to a point when the banksters, you know, get to a point of abuse of the population, which is, you know, really happening right now. Like, the inequality is just at a record level, because of, you know, not because the Fed is, you know, fighting inequality. No, it's because that there's massive inequality in the world because of the Fed policies in the first place. You know, these scumbags, they go out there and think that they can come on TV and you know, be all these saviors. You know, we're going to go and save people from inequality. Meanwhile, they were the ones that created it in the first place. So you know, it's very infuriating to watch these morons. And, you know, now you got the old granny, you know, sitting at the Treasury in the U.S., you know, the former Federal Reserve Chair, Janet Yellen, you know, making $7 million on speeches with actually one of the hedge funds that were involved in the kerfuffle. the GameStop kerfuffle.
Yeah, it's,
she made $800,000 from them for a speaking fee.
Yeah, who is that? Citibank
Melbourne Capital.
Who was it?
Citadel. You have, Citadel. You know, it's even more Citadel. Sorry, yeah. But do you know what's even more funny with Citadel? Ben Bernanke is on there. You know who else is on this board? Like Citadel. You know these guys. These guys are, you know, a bunch of criminals. So they bunch together, and you know, like who takes a, you know, I'm just gonna go and go and speak for you guys. I'm gonna get $800,000 for speaking. You know, it's, no, it's actually it's a payoff. You know, it's that's
we give you $800,000 here. We're these expecting guys something there.
And yeah. Exactly, it's funny. Like they're nothing but you know, real like the scum of the earth. Like they have zero things that they do that actually benefit people. You know, like short selling all this stuff. It doesn't. Yeah, here we go. Like I'm on the website now, Citadel's website. Ben Bernanke is the senior advisor. Oh, there's another scumbag. You know, that's on there. He was, you know, calling for this whole quantitative easing that we have now, buying up assets when they fail to prop up the value. That idiot is on there. You know, not too many other ones that I know, but he's a senior advisor sitting there. Of course, he's an advisor, so he doesn't get the blame. You know, like when you're an advisor, you don't get the full blame because the team, you know, that's theirs. Oh, it's their fault. It's not Ben Bernanke's fault. You know, that they're ripping people off and. And,
no, you know, they need it as this credibility for their opinion. This is what, you know, if you run for office and you're behind the scenes or you're debating these guys or you're in the green room or you're talking to legislators, you know, either in or out of the eye of the public and blah, 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 goes like this. They have certain people or issues or whatever that they're beholden to. That's how they get in there. That's where the money came from. And they are going to do that no matter what. You know, anything else is just, you know, window dressing. And what they do when somebody comes to them a lot or something that's not on the radar screen of their other special interest, you know, they don't, you know, care one way or another. They just go, all right, what are my talking points? Where's my 3x5 card? What happens when grandma, what you call it, comes up and yells at me? What do I say? What do I say? What do I say? Well, on this, on pharma and vaccines and everything, it, you know, trust the science. You know, where's the science? Show me science. All right, well, here's the line of, you know, this credentialed individual said this about that. Well, the same thing is with the banking deal. They just want to know what they got to say. Oh, well, the Federal Reserve former blah, blah, the such and such, you know, said or did or advisory board or something. And you go, okay. They're just looking for, you know, a talking point. They just need a bullet item on their 3x5 card of what they're going to say for the excuse of them not using their brain. We just say, oh, no, I trust the experts. You know, this is where Kamala Harris, as she was doing the confirmation as a senator, she's going, all right, well, we got, what was her name, Barrett. When she gets up there, she goes, what's your position on administrative law? Well, I'm like, where in the hell did that come from? From out of the blue. The reason is there was a case. It was called Chevron versus whatever. Chevron, what do they call it? The Chevron expert case or something. And what it was is that you have these different commissions that determine whether Chevron, the oil company, was in violation of something. Well, they figured their rights were being violated, and this agency's all screwed up and screw them, and they go all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court made a decision, you know, we just default to the experts. administrative law is kind of a cabinet, you know, positions of the department of whatever the hell it is. And the administrative law is outside of the court system. It is, they just do whatever the hell they want because they're an expert. And that was a case to where the Supreme Court had ruled that they don't want, claim, or take jurisdiction on these administrative law cases. So what they're saying is the government's always right. And you're going, really? So when Kamala Harris asks Barrett that, I'm going, what the hell does this little secret handshake club thing, does that mean? You know? So now I can start to see why they always need these former secretaries or whatever. Former, that gives them credibility of experts in the administrative law of, we decided, of the commission of the SEC, of the, you know, FCC, the FAA, the FFF, everything, the FM, and they come in with whatever criteria that they use. A legislator goes, yeah, whatever they said. It goes up to the Supreme Court, they go, yeah, whatever they said. And now we are in the control of a technocracy. And that's how it happened. And that's why Kamala Harris asked Barrett about her support of administrative law and that she wasn't going to overturn it. So you want to see how this really works, that's how it works. We're being ruled by they, them, those that got in the position of, and they just keep feeding on themselves until the math doesn't work anymore. And the math is coming down to what? And they're going to keep hammering the short, hammering the short. I had to look it up. They kept saying existential threat, existential, existential. What the hell does that mean? Existential means a extinction event. So this silver short is an extinction event, and they will crush it as much as they can on the stock market. But that doesn't stop people from just buying the metal. They just go out and buy the metal. Well, they're buying the metal, but they're still going to keep crushing this down. And I say, in the long term, it's not going to make any difference because they're going to buy the metal. So when I look over at Roberts & Roberts and I look at their prices, you know, it was $2.90-something above, but now it's down to $1.87. So they're starting to crush it down, but there's still nothing available. You know, so how do those two, you know, reconcile?
Well, that's the problem. Like, you could have this centralized, you know, market thing going on, but it's like, how are you going to keep the scheme going forever? It's like, it's when that link breaks, you know, it breaks, and there's no way back. Like, if this ever breaks and people's like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to, you know, buy the physical metal instead, because we couldn't really, like, manipulate the silver, you know, price itself, so we might as well just go out and buy silver and hold it.
Right.
So you never know what might happen, you know. They might smarten up, because now they're seeing the dissent is getting crushed. You know, it was up at 10%, and now it's getting crushed. You know, it's down at only 6.4% gain as we speak right now. And if you go on the indexes, you know, NASDAQ is up 1.57%. It was a good day today. Everything is fine. Meanwhile, where's the dark winter, you know, that we were going to have in the economy? Well, I guess the stock market doesn't care about the economy. It's just manipulated by Wall Street and big money that slushes into the fund. It's like, you know, it's hilarious watching these guys. And, you know, they don't give a crap about the common man out there and, you know, our life. Livelihoods or anything, and they'll crush it in a second if they had to. But we are seeing, for example, interest rates. I'm also looking at interest rates, and specifically the two-year, because experts have said that if the two-year bond in the United States breaks under 0.10%, we could potentially see a jump to negative interest rates in the United States, because it's a technical level. Like, if you go and pull up the chart, you actually see that, you know, that's the floor. That's the floor that it's been at all the time.
Which is what, zero?
And if it does break through that, light starts. Well, no, it's 0.1, zero. So 0.10%. And when it breaks below that, you could potentially start seeing a lot more negative interest rates. You know, there's a lot about to, you know, really come and unglued in you know, the markets all across the world. because now, like, most of Europe is in complete lockdown, meaning that they closed the borders physically, so there's only, like, the critical food going in and out of the borders in Norway, I know. Most other countries have done it as well. I think France, you know, Macron wasn't able to do it because the people rioted in the streets and stopped him from doing it, which they should. You know, here in Manitoba, they're just, you know, out sleeping. Well, the problem is we're 44% government employees here, so that probably has a lot to do with it, that nobody's doing nothing, or at least, you know, there's talks of it. You know, people are angry here. And where do you go? Like, I travel around the province a lot, and when I talk to people, you know, I talk to gas station owner. He said that, you know, they canceled all these, you know, country festival. They canceled the Ukrainian festival here. They canceled all this stuff. You know, do you know anybody that could come here and fill some gas? Because I'm really, like, just scratching the bottom of the barrel here right now. And when you start hearing that from a lot of people, he said, like, yeah, a lot of people around, like, small business owners all around here are really just struggling and are really desperate right now because all the big events were canceled, you know, by the government, not by COVID, and all these other things are being canceled. You know, there's no livelihood left for us. And so the people on the countryside are really feeling the brunt because in the city, you know, you get the devastation in the food and eating industry here, but nobody in the city really cares about, you know, the country bumpkins. You know, they've shown that that's what they want. You know, they want the big cities. They want the ability to control people more simple, easier when you have them, you know, within a confined limit of the city. But I think what you're also going to see now is more and more, and actually I see this was it Toronto? There people are moving out of the big city because housing prices are, like, through the roof at massive record levels again. When you had a freaking, like, government-induced economic crisis with COVID, and you're seeing all these markets are completely way out of whack. Like, there's no fundamental, you know, valuation of a lot of the things, and you know, when you see that breakdown, you know, you're just waiting for that one point where things are just going to come unglued again. And I think they might come, you know, unglued very soon because you're starting to see, like, Facebook come out and say that, oh, we're going to depoliticize, you know, Facebook. It might sound great for us that, you know, we don't believe in politics at all, but the thing is, you know, it's going to be political if you don't want government around. Disagree with the government.
Well, these, you know, blah, 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 government this, government that, you know, until you get down to the real why they there. And I'm wondering, you know, what part the economy plays. I mean, it's always the economy, stupid. And as I go and I look, I said, all right, I look at, to find anyone, I had to go to Atmex to find anyone that would quote any prices or that their site isn't, you know, overwhelmed. Or, I mean, people are going all in on this. And I'm looking at just their, you know, junk rounds, you know, Fred's, you know, silver. And the cheapest I saw was $36.90 up to $41 an ounce. And it's at, now it's showing what, $28.29 now. Yeah. And the premium on that being way, you know, of $10. I'm like, holy crap. So I'm going, all right. So if we do a silver Eagle coins, you know, let's see if that'll load up. How much are these? $41. So you start getting silver Eagles, you're $41.44. You know, it's $40. So I'm going, all right, how long do you think this is going to last? That is John.
Like the prices or? Yeah, hey, was it the prices you were talking about? Like the you know, the prices? How long those are going to last?
Well, we're going at, right now I'm looking at the spot prices. It's 2788 from a high today of like 2960 or something like that. So they're doing something. They're hammering this thing down. But that what it the spot price don't mean nothing. It's what you can buy it for. And what you can buy it for is 36 plus dollars an ounce. You know, you want to beat the crap out of them, especially when they're shorting it like this. Just go out and buy it. You know, well, they don't have any. Well, maybe you can buy a bar. Maybe you can buy maybe something. You'll go maybe, because this is going to get, this is the battle right here. And they think that, you know, just because of what it says on the screen here is what it costs silver. No, it's not. It's what you got to pay when you go get it. I guarantee it. You know, just FYI.
Yeah, no, 100%. People don't get that, and people are usually shocked that when you got to pay $3-4 more. But you know, this is getting crazy. You know, you got as I said, you know, 20-30% premium. You know, on the spot price. That means that it's because usually, you know, they lay a dollar maybe over the price, and so it's like maybe 2-4%. But where it's at right now, like it's just showing you the massive silver shortage that are developing, because you got to remember, like. Things, because silver market is still pretty big, it's about the same size as Bitcoin right now, and you know it's you know the market takes a little bit time to move around, and especially on the supply demand side, you know the stores will you know have some, and then suddenly it's they're gonna suddenly get less and less and less and less, right? So it's going to happen. You know, it's ultimate that, you know, the whole crash is coming down. They're going to still keep on, you know, printing a whole bunch of money in countries, so that you believe that the, you know, the silver price would go down and stay at, or the gold price stay where they are right now with the massive amounts of, you know, stimulus money coming out, because some of that money trickles into the real economy. And so, you know, for the people that, you know, are really struggling right now out there, that, you know, my mom, for example, in Norway, she was getting, you know, she was so proud. She said, oh, I got like about 40 cents, you know, increase in salary. And I was like, well, what's the inflation at right now in Norway? It's like, well, it was actually below the official inflation in Norway that you got in a salary. And then I asked her, you know, like, how much would you say that you lost in purchasing power? You know, like, if you look at, like, how much money do you have left now of what you had 2 years ago? It's like, oh, crap. You know, like, people are not seeing that right away. You know, the massive impact that, you know, this currency printing has, all this stimulus, everything that's going out there. People are getting hurt really badly. You know, like they're pushing, you know, the $15 minimum wage in the United States now on federal level, you know, for federal workers and all this stuff. They don't understand the ramifications of what that will do on top of everything. You know, that them having to raise the minimum wage is it's a symptom of the underlying cause, which is the massive printing of currency that's going on. You know, in the United States, if I'm going to go and just look at the money supply in the United States right now, because it's been rapidly going up, especially with the stimulus. Like, yeah, there we go. It's like hockey sticking right now. It's flattened a tiny little bit, but it's basically gone from about what is this for a number? I think it's 15 trillion, and now it's close to 19.186 trillion.
And how long? Within, what's like the time span for that?
Under a year.
Under a year, okay. Damn.
Sorry?
No, I was just wondering what the time span for that was.
It's happening. It's, you know, you got the M0 as well. Like, everything, like, money is starting to hockey stick quite a bit. You know, if you pull out the charts, you'll see them. And this is hilarious, too. Like, if you look at the M0, I could put it right beside, you know, the chart, which is basically the Federal Reserve, you know, the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, and this looks exactly like it. It's very hilarious. You know, these guys are, you know, they're going to continue with their schemes now. I think in the United States, especially, it's going to be a lot of stimulus through money printing. But it, who knows? Maybe they're not even able to pass this stuff because there's so much chaos, you know. And then they're pushing all these policies of mass spending around and pushing them out. You know, the United States is in for a chaotic time, and here in Canada we're even worse off, you know. So we're... where we're heading with this is, you know, it's going to be the end of some currencies very soon in certain countries. The United States is coming there too, but I think they will be one of the last standing because they at least have a little bit of power being still a part of, you know, being a world reserve currency.
Well, so what are they going to do for
power left? But I
what are they going to do for the cryptos? You know, they it's not like, see, that's why I keep saying if they can. They are. What if they can't? You know, what if they can't control, you know, cryptocurrencies? What if they can't have, it's a faith-based thing. I mean, it's all about everybody's faith in it. But if it does what it does, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's, you know, you got a reason for the faith. But, you know, that's why I like precious metals, because I got faith that I can feel it. I mean, you know, I'm actually holding it. It's got weight, mass. I got some faith in that. It's scarcity, you know, that kind of thing. I don't have faith in how it's valued, so I just let the people value it, you know. So what are they going to do with crypto? I mean, they're going to try and do digital. They're going to come up with GoldmanSucks.gov coin. You know, what's their plan?
Well, their plan is definitely to come up with the central bank digital currencies. And every single central bank around the world is working on it. There's going to be probably a lot of them coming out this year, it seems like. So we're going to see a lot of that actually coming out, where there's you might actually like have still your bank account, but it might be a direct account with your central bank, like whatever country you're in. It would be the Fed, the Bank of Canada, Bank of Norway. It doesn't matter which country you're at. But you might have, like, it looks like a bank account, but it's actually a account that you have directly connected to your central bank that they could insert directly, you know, money right into your account for stimulating the economy. Because, like, where they're going now, you know, going on a third lockdown or a lot of places now. And today, Australia locked down 2 million people, or was it yesterday? Locked down 2 million people because one person got COVID.
Wow!
Like you gotta be kidding me. So I
well, is Canada being cooperative?
He said that he's been having connection issues. So good.
Is Canada being cooperative? The people, they all, oh, yeah, okay, whatever.
To a certain point, like there's provinces that are not as cooperative, and it's of course what we call the Texas of Canada. Which is Alberta, they're getting kicked while they're laying down with the oil price being at record lows. So they're really hurting. And there's a lot of problems. And, you know, you'll see, I don't know, like there's going to be a lot of upheaval in Quebec, Vancouver, and Alberta especially. Even in Saskatchewan, our neighboring province here as well, they're coming, you know, they're standing up a whole bunch of people. And it's funny, you know, like people kind of see it, because if you go and look at anything at mainstream media here, you'll be vilified. There's be, you know, now that they rolled out the vaccines, for example, you know, the vaccines are, you know, being housed as, you know, oh, they're wonderful, you know, and then suddenly there's deaths happening now. And then suddenly, oh, they got underlying causes. Nothing to see here. You know, nothing to do with the vaccine. It's like, oh, that suddenly changed, you know?
Yeah.
From
the Andrew point just of, came on,
it's like,
John.
Oh, it's, yeah.
We got Andrew, we got
oh, perfect.
You there?
Yeah, he said he was coming on. He had some connection issues. There you are. Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Hello. Okay. Yeah, we've been yakking it for a couple hours, filling time. And, let's go ahead. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a part one and part two here because I want to make sure we get a clean recording on this. Let me stop this one.